This is the third large-scale, long-term prospective cohort study, if you will, that the American Cancer Society has sponsored. And essentially what they're trying to do is draw a representative sample of individuals from all around the country, and then the Cancer Society will follow these individuals for upwards of 20 to 30 years. Individuals who enroll will be given annual updates on progress of the study, how things are going, some of the data that are being obtained. And every other year, they'll also be asked to complete a follow-up survey. What are their dietary and exercise habits? Where do they live? Other factors that are relevant for health. And the really exciting aspect of this study is that it's really trying to determine some of the root causes of cancer. There are a lot of different factors that all play different roles, but trying to tease out which of those factors are important. Is it a certain type of diet? Is it a type of diet and exercise? Is it a combination of body weight and alcohol consumption? These are things that take a long time to evaluate across different types of people to really find out what's important. These types of studies require a large number of people and a long time for evaluation to really tease out those important factors.
So the American Cancer Society, Dr. Jenkins, is working to sign up hundreds of people in our area who are 30 to 65 years of age and currently cancer-free. This is their third long-term study. Could you just remind us what the first two studies accomplished and how far we've come, perhaps, over the past several decades?
The initial cancer prevention study occurred from 1959 to 1972, and that one is largely completed. I don't believe they're following individuals any longer. The second cancer prevention study began in 1982, and they are actually still following some of the 185,000 individuals who enrolled in that study. It's this type of study that they've discovered the link between cigarette smoking and lung cancer. And for many people, that may seem obvious right now, because we know that there are many carcinogens in cigarette smoke. However, actually trying to prove that inhaling cigarette smoke can, in some people, cause lung cancer is actually terribly difficult. You can't really just have a petri dish and blow smoke on it to see cancer. It really takes this type of long-term study to actually show that people who smoke are at much greater risk of lung cancer than those who don't.
So lifestyle choices, such as smoking or drinking, obviously something they'll be tracking in this Cancer Prevention Study 3, but I just wondered about the role of genetics in this study as well. As someone with a family history of prostate cancer, would I be the sort of person that this study would be looking for to sign up and track over the next few decades?
Actually, you would be an excellent candidate. One of the things that the study would try to determine is just how important is family history of cancer towards an individual's cancer risk, and how might that be mitigated? What factors do you as an individual adopt or perform that may increase or lessen your chance of cancer based upon the context that your family does have a history? Some cancers have a very large genetic component. Prostate cancer is a great example. As an individual at perhaps increased risk of prostate cancer, what types of lifestyle factors do you adopt? What type of environment do you live in? What type of work habits do you have that either increase or decrease that risk? And that is the type of thing that this study, staged across 300,000 individuals around this country, can help tease out those different types of environmental factors.
We're speaking with Dr. Wiley Jenkins, Associate Director of the SIU School of Medicine Center for Clinical Research and a member of the Simmons Cancer Institute. I wanted to ask you, Dr. Jenkins, you're hoping to find close to 900 local participants. Has it been difficult at all to persuade people to really step forward and commit to 20-some years of reporting on their health?
It's really not that hard to do, and people are, for the most part, not adverse to sharing this type of information. Many people, for example, are enrolled by family members or friends who have had cancer, and we find that cancer patients, cancer survivors, or those who have had a personal experience with cancer are really some of our biggest champions to convince their friends and their coworkers or family members to enroll. The information that they request is somewhat personal in the sense that they do want to know some of your personal details, because it's those personal details of what you actually do. What are your exercise habits? What are your dietary habits? What is your size, weight, waist circumference? Those types of details. Those are personal information, but these are kept confidential, and there are a very limited number of individuals who ever see this information. Your name is essentially stripped from that data, and that data is assigned a number. So they can still follow you throughout the 20 to 30 years. But those who look at the data or analyze it won't know who an individual is. And this provides a fair degree of anonymity that most people are comfortable with.
And for those people who are 30 to 65 years of age out there who are cancer-free and maybe interested in being a part of this study, where can they go to get started?
At the Simmons Cancer Institute, May 15th, we are bringing people in, as well as May 17th. They are going to have trained phlebotomists collect a blood sample. It's very similar to a doctor's visit. They're going to have other clinicians there to collect some other personal data. There is also a survey associated with this. Now, this initial survey is somewhat extensive, and they really, really, really encourage people to sign up ahead of time and do this online. It takes about 40 minutes, actually, to go through the whole thing. Now, the subsequent surveys that you'll be getting every other year are much shorter. If anyone's curious about Illinois-specific information and wants to look up data on the cancer study, on recruitment sites, they have a website specific to Illinois, and it's www.cps3illinois.org. And there's a couple of pages there that are just fabulous for showing people where they can go, what's going to be requested of them. There are recruitment centers in other places in Illinois, and if you go to the website, you can find those locations as well.
And finally, Dr. Jenkins, just looking 20, 30 years into the future, what results would you hope for, and how perhaps would outcomes from a major long-term study like this possibly impact your work as an epidemiologist?
I would hope that this would provide, honestly, a lot of data concerning how our modern lifestyle impacts our risk of cancer. We already know that the majority of cancer could be eliminated if people did things they already know to do, exercise regularly, reduce the consumption of alcohol, have a good diet, maintain a healthy weight. But I think that this data will also produce a lot of insight into how can we make our lives more amenable to being healthy and to avoiding cancer. How can we structure our work so that we have increased personal health and reduced risk of cancer? Do we need to monitor certain types of industries that release tremendous amounts of chemicals into the environment? Do we need to structure work shifts that people who work maybe at night versus the day, is there differences in their risk of cancer? And so I think we'll find after 20 or 30 years of data, hopefully very specific things that we can do as a society to change how we live to reduce the risk of cancer and hopefully lead to better and healthier lives for everybody.
I've been speaking with Dr. Wiley Jenkins, Associate Director of the SIU School of Medicine Center for Clinical Research, and he's also a member of the Simmons Cancer Institute. Dr. Jenkins, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.